Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Well, it's over, everybody. Haven't you seen the news? Biden will be the president. Not so fast. Sorry, Bumbles, it's not over yet. And sorry, fake news media, it's not over yet. Boy, have we got a lot to talk about. Well, this is Radio Free Virginia, and you can find out more about this podcast at radiofreeva.com. And you can find this podcast. The best way to do it is to get the Podbean player and go ahead and follow it. Do me a favor and do that. That really helps me know who's out there, and I can really do better at understanding my listeners, and I would appreciate that very much. Before I get started, I wanted to tell you about the show's sponsor, Acticare of the Blue Ridge, acticare.com/blue-ridge. If you're looking for senior in-home care for your loved one when you can't be there, give John and his team a call. Whether you're in Bedford or Smith Mountain Lake or Roanoke or Lynchburg, Campbell County, out in the country, they really care about you and your family, and I think you'll really like the service you get from them. acticare.com/blue-ridge. All right, so did we lose? Actually, no. You will never convince me, and you will never convince more than 70 million Americans that Bumbles, the demented, has won this election. And it's not just what the lefties pretty much were doing for the past 4 years, not my president. No, he's not our president because, well, one, the Electoral College has not voted yet. Two, you can't have vote fraud be the determining factor when you're running for office. You just can't. And there are numerous examples of vote fraud. I'll just give you a couple. All the key states, listen to these statistics. So Biden got less votes than Hillary in the last election and Obama before that, except in these cities where they're counting and counting and counting and stuffing ballots and not letting Republicans to see what's happening and covering up windows to prevent anyone from getting in and seeing it. The black community in larger numbers voted for Trump this time than last time, except in those places where they're counting and counting and counting. It is statistically impossible for any candidate to get 100% of the votes. Just not possible. You're always going to have a moron that votes the wrong way, if nothing else. An exceedingly high voter turnout in some of these places. Now, I don't know why this is so complicated to have an election and not screw it up, but apparently that's what Democrats are great at. And you're wondering why Joe Biden didn't run a campaign? Well, here's why. Now, if it was me, what I would do is I would print exactly as many ballots as there are registered voters. I would then print a small number of provisional ballots, a totally different color. And that is all we would ever have. And I would have somebody with a gun standing next to the printer as they were coming off and guarding them from the time they left there till the time they showed up. I would have them specially marked with some sort of an ink that is only visible by a special light. I would take the original plates that the printer had and prevent them from making more of those. We can make dollar bills, $20 bills, $100 bills. We can make those that you can't counterfeit them. Or at least that it's extremely difficult. But no, we can't do that apparently with ballots. So you'll never convince me, and you'll never convince the millions of people across this country. And it's maybe more than 70 million, if you think about it. Because we've seen ballots thrown over in a ditch. We've seen them dumped in trash cans. So who knows how many poor people that thought that, hey, my vote's being counted and I'm going to send it in. Yeah, right. This is why I walked in. So you'll never, ever, ever convince me that Bumbles the Demented is ever the president. But I got some more stuff that I want to share with you around this topic. This is an opinion piece from Town Hall. It's written by Congressman Andy Biggs. The fierce beast of the left, the omnivorous viper of the Democrats, has been let loose. Every tyrant needs quislings. Unfortunately, there are appeasers even among Republicans. The useful idiots of the left are being eaten already. The appeasers will be next. Those who demand grace from Trump supporters, as we watch the nation stolen from us, deny the peril from a ravenous beast that will consume our freedoms and chain the American people. The piranhas are already nibbling at Nancy Pelosi, who is suffering from whiplash from the hard left turn she took when she was reinstalled as Speaker of the House 2 years ago. She made a deal with the devil, the squad, in order to win her position. The fate of all authoritarians who fail to control their helpers is to be eaten by their own. Even now, the radical left members among the House Democrats are coming after her. Because of their firm commitment to dismantling our economy and determination to impose every dangerous idea of the left, what they thought would be a blue wave of Democrat victories from the presidency to the Senate and the House and across free America was defeated. Congressional Democrats who survived the election, who have the temerity to condemn their own radical narrative as the cause of their dismal performance, have been castigated and threatened by the de facto leader of the Democrats, the radical Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Republican appeasers like the freedom-hating Lincoln Project are aided by several members of Congress who fail to recognize the cliff America is heading over. These modern Neville Chamberlains have not learned the lesson of history. Once the tyrants are let loose, they will continue to consume everyone in their path, including former friends. Choosing to be silent or lurking and hiding is merely choosing to be eaten later. As Churchill noted, an appeaser keeps feeding the totalitarian monster, hoping to be eaten last. Don't believe that the crazies really are serious about retribution? How about AOC's endorsement of the Trump Accountability Project, designed to make sure anyone who took a paycheck to help Trump undermine America is held responsible for what they did? This is what communist dictators do. It's how North Korea's Kim Jong-un, Venezuela's Maduro, even communist China's Mao, Deng, and current leader Xi Jinping control their unfree people. It is consistent with historical tyranny imposed by Lenin and Stalin. The AOCs of the left are joined by crazed attack dogs in the media, like the odious Olbermann, who wants the president arrested and removed from office. Olbermann, who has lately become even more delirious with hate, also wants to arrest Tucker Carlson and others who have exposed the left or expressed support for Trump. And yet the propaganda arm of the new left and Democrats continues to give a platform to spew hate and discord by this unhinged lunatic who advocates for violence against those with whom he disagrees. In 2016, some Republicans decided that they would not support the president. Instead, they said the kinder, more temperate, was deserving of their vote. The nutty McCullen, who previously said, "I oppose fascism and socialism because I believe in the innate liberty of humankind," apparently favors his own brand of tyranny, which advocates that we should keep and publish a list of everyone who assists Trump's frivolous and dangerous attacks on this election. Name and shame forever. May the irrelevant McMullen take his brand of public shaming forever with him to his quiet corner of despotic despair. There really is no other choice but to fight to preserve our nation. While the left is assiduously stealing the presidency, with the almost ironic twist that Republicans are gaining seats in Congress and around the country, we must not acquiesce to their efforts. We must have faith. We must have hope. We must have the courage necessary to fight. If it takes peaceful protests, we must take to the streets with a quiet and resolved dignity that shows the difference between the thoughtful right and the mindless left. If it takes litigation, our lawyers must be given the resources and support necessary to make the case. It certainly will take communication to the American people. Communicate every way, through every mode, and when the masters of the tech universe censor you, go around them. We must urge legislators to confirm Trump's electors when there is a demonstrable tampering of the electoral outcomes by the vote thieves on the left. We must truly overwhelm the radicals on the left with our American spirit and faith. Our voices united for freedom must be heard above the frenzied screams of the left that seek to destroy freedom. And I love this quote that somebody has pulled out, and I couldn't find it in the article, but it said, "Fellow patriots, this is the hill we fight for and live on or die on. If you don't understand this, just turn in your guns into your nearest police station and get your slave ticket for your gulag bus now." I don't know if that was a comment from the news article or what, but it was great. So this clip is from Joe Pags. He's a radio talk show host that I actually used to get here locally until a bunch of dummies bought our local radio station and wrecked it. So he's a great talk show host. I really enjoy his stuff, and I follow him on Parler because that's the only social media platform that I can be on, apparently. I'm persona non grata. Oh, and I was kicked off of Instagram for no reason. There's nothing political on my Instagram. And another militia leader who had been purged from Facebook like myself had also this week been purged from Instagram. No cause, no nothing. Violation of your terms of service. We're actually starting to call around to some lawyers. We want to bring light to this issue. This is ridiculous. They're violating their own terms of service. That's called fraud, and they need to be sued for this. And so we want to do a class action lawsuit and bring light to the fact that they are purging patriots all across the country from their platform for no violations of their community guidelines. They don't tell you what the community guidelines. Here's the post that did this that got you kicked. Bye-bye. It's just bye-bye. So here you go. Get lost. We don't need you anymore. So that's outrageous. So listen to this from Joe Pags. He explains this whole election nonsense very well.
What's happening, people? It's your boy Joe Pags. Just got done with my weekend program, The Weekend with Joe Pags, aptly named, I would guess. And I wanted to talk about this news that we woke up to today. And I want to make sure that we put out the absolute truth, because you're not getting the truth right now from the left. I don't know what the election result is going to be. I do know this. There is not a winner yet. There just isn't. And I'm telling you this as of 2 o'clock p.m. Central Time. That's 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. Because the Associated Press made the decision to say that Biden won, and NBC News made that decision, and other news organizations are running with it, attributing what they're saying to NBC and AP, that doesn't mean that it's over. And I want to harken back to the year 2000, because this is really important. Al Gore lost the election to George W. Bush. In fact, he conceded to George W. Bush and then later reneged on that concession. He actually took it back. Then he challenged for weeks and weeks the result in Florida. A recount was done, another recount was done, wanted to recount again, and finally the Supreme Court got the case and they said, no, enough recounts. We have a winner. And George W. Bush was the winner. That took weeks and weeks. It took a lot of time. Here we are 3 or 4 days after the election. The election has not been certified in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, in Nevada, in Arizona, yet we're for some reason acting like it has been. It hasn't been. There's a process that's in place, a process that is righteous, that is a check and balance. We know for sure there is data and actual video evidence that poll watchers, observers were not allowed to get within 30, some say 100 feet of the polls in Philadelphia until a court order by a judge said, you have to let them see what's going on. And they said, you have to let them within 6 feet. That challenge was an appropriate challenge, and it was upheld. They were playing games. You can't let it make an observer stand 30 or 100 feet away. They've got to be able to actually see what you're doing with the ballots. There's another court challenge that's happening from the Trump campaign in Nevada, saying this woman was disenfranchised, that we're not allowed to come in and observe. We know that also in Michigan, they weren't allowed to observe. In fact, they kicked him out. They made him stand outside and then put cardboard over the windows so that people couldn't look inside. And right now, you just have a media narrative that plays off of Biden's speech last night. We're confident we have the votes. Suddenly, NBC and AP have decided what they say is the result of this election. And that's bogus. That's not the way we do it in America. Okay? These court challenges are righteous. They should be heard, and it should at least get the same fair shake that Al Gore got back in 2000. By the way, even afterwards, after George W. Bush was announced the winner, the Miami Herald recounted the votes again in Florida. And guess who still won? George W. Bush. So Biden may end up winning, but there's a major problem when you've got a media narrative, a social media narrative, and a narrative from one campaign saying we won, just accept it. That's bogus. That's not the way we do it in America. Let me say two other things. Number one, this election taught us one thing for sure. Mail-in balloting has to be done away with. You want to do a mail-in ballot, you get an absentee ballot where you request it. It goes to you, the person who requested it, and the person who requested it sends it back filled out. That's the way you do it. The idea that we allowed in this, the greatest land on planet Earth, we allowed people to send out actual ballots by the millions to people who didn't request them is nuts. It's shameful, actually. And it's unheard of, and it shouldn't be done.
So there, I think Joe does an outstanding job of explaining what's what. And the fraud and the absurdity of all of this is, it's shocking. It's shocking that the greatest country in the world is so screwed up when it comes to elections. People around the world, banana republics are laughing at us right now. They said, we couldn't even get away with that, they're probably saying to themselves. It's ridiculous. And the AP, the what I'm going to call now American Pravda, the propaganda wing of the communists in America, is just making a joke of themselves. You don't just get to wave a magic wand and say it so. And what ultimately probably needs to happen, it's so screwed up, and I would love to see this happen, and then I would accept the results if it was done like this. Every state that's in question right now, delete. You now have 30 days to hold another election, you morons. And I would straight up tell them like that. If I was, I would get this, the Supreme Court needs to issue this order and say, you people are an incompetent bunch of bozos. We are going to send other state auditors into your state and we're going to run your election for you because you're too incompetent to do it yourself and not be fraudulent. There will be no mail-in. You will drive up. You will walk up. People can bus you, but you will show up in person and you will vote. End of story. But as I can tell you, there is no way that what is going down right now has any honesty or justice to it right now. And here's the problem with that I see, is Bumbles the Demented will destroy this country. He will wreck this economy like you've never seen an economy wrecked. And you're going to have people losing their jobs. And their lives are going to be ruined because of this. Or Trump becomes president and we have the potential to have the greatest economic boom that we've ever had ever in America. And when you mess with the boxes that preserve liberty, you only leave one box left. When you mess with the boxes that preserve liberty, you only leave one box left, and that's the cartridge box. You're messing with the ballot box right now, lighting it on fire and stamping it out and throwing it in the dumpster. The jury box clearly isn't doing anything because the courts aren't stopping this. And then you have the soapbox, which many of us are banned from at the moment. We're not allowed to be on the soapbox. So that's all three of those are gone. The only one left is the cartridge box. And honestly, I think one way or another we're going to guns. I really do. I see no alternative. When it's all said and done, I think we're going to guns. And I hope I'm wrong. I genuinely hope I'm wrong. Despite the fact that I feel that I'm ready for that, I hope I'm wrong. I don't want to see that in my country. This is America, for crying out loud. There's no reason for any of this. They are bringing this. They are declaring war on you. They are saying that your vote does not matter. And I wonder how many places this is being done on a scale of any size. Could this have been done in Virginia? Do some of these smaller congressional races, could we have actually won those races and they were stuffing the ballot box? I mean, why not? They're doing it in what, 6 other states? Why couldn't they have been doing it here? And so we have this 50-50 split almost now in the House. We picked up, Republicans picked up a lot of seats. We have a 50-50 split in the Senate. Ideally, you want a 51-49, because if Bumbles the Demented gets in, is installed, I'll say that, Kamala Harris would be breaking the ties in the Senate with 50-50. Not great. So it's a real problem. Let me play for you a clip of some audio from a movie called The Last Starfighter, which was came out in 1984. And I love this scene right here. Listen.
You, and you alone, stand between us and the black terror of the Kodan. Victory or death!
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
That's right, friends. Victory or death. Victory or death. I will not accept the slavery that these Marxist revolutionary pieces of garbage are trying to foist upon us. And I know you won't either. It's outrageous. It's criminal. So I'm going to transition now into another interview with Marcus. Marcus was in town. He's actually moved away and now he was visiting again. And so we got the chance to sit down and have kind of a post-election powwow, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It's actually quite long, so I'm going to break this up about halfway through. I'll wrap the show up, and I will bring back the second half in next week's show. So I am here again with Marcus. Welcome to the show.
Good to be back.
So we're post-election now, and we'll talk about some of that, but you and I had a conversation, and you were mentioning 1984 and the book and what Satan must think of that book. And I thought it was very funny, and maybe you could retell your thoughts there about 1984.
Yeah, I wish I could have captured that. So I think that 1984 is one of these rare books that, you know, even though George Orwell wasn't a Christian, he was actually kind of a lefty guy himself, but he hated totalitarianism, hated fascism, hated communism. But it's one of these books that is so well written and is contains so much truth that it's almost like there's only two ways the book could have come into existence. Either it's a, you know, he got some form of divine inspiration to write it, or it came straight out of the pit of hell, because it describes the perfect tyranny. Now, if it truly came just from George Orwell's mind, this is one of these works that's so well done that Lucifer's down there in the totalitarian department going to his demons and saying, "Are you kidding me? We've had thousands of years to tempt human beings, and this mere mortal comes up with a better system of tyranny than any of you have devised? You're fired." That's what I'd imagine hell was acting when they read 1984. And it seems like in our age, we're living it now, fully played out. You know, you look at what happened with Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation, where we literally got to see, in kind of a 21st century techno way, newspeak come into being. She says, I can't remember what the exact phrase was, sexual orientation, I think it was, or sexual preference or something like that.
It was preference.
Sexual preference. And then literally in real time, Webster's dictionary changes the definition of the word to match the left-wing narrative. And down the memory hole goes previous definitions. I mean, that is literally, we're walking into a totalitarian nightmare. It just looks softer. So instead of Big Brother on the telescreen, it's Twitter, Facebook, it's the social media giants, it's CNN. One phrase that I've heard used to describe this is soft totalitarianism. But it's the same features of 1984.
It's the Jedi mind trick. You know, these are not the droids you're looking for. These are not the droids we're looking for. move along. And you see it. I mean, I saw it before I was kicked off Facebook, but you would see this. People would a day later or a couple days later from some thing that was, you know, being shown, it was the narrative and everyone is spouting it. And I'm going, what is going on here?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we're talking post-election now. Let's stick with movie references for a bit. I'll maybe make a Star Wars one here. So the new Star Wars trilogy that came out, episodes 1 through 3, mostly garbage. But there is a magic line there, a money line, where, you know, Senator Palpatine or the Emperor is being asked, is this legal? And he says, I will make it legal. So there's a lot of talk right now, you know, was there voter fraud? You know, is there any evidence? How can we prove this? You know, I don't think we need to do a deep dive on all the nitty-gritty details here. That's kind of a separate show. But I think there's prima facie evidence that some fraud took place, and it could have been on a massive scale in some of these localities. But the broader picture we need to look at is this idea where we create unjust laws. So what in previous ages would have been considered fraud or illegal is now legalized. And I think that's the broader problem, is that what we saw happen on the election is more the culmination of the corruption of the Republic and our political system. It's not merely that some people broke the law. It's that they engineered a system where it's impossible to enforce any sort of voter integrity. They created a system where the rules are so loosey-goosey, there's so little accountability, there's so little oversight, that you won't really know whether or not the vote was legitimate or not. And so whether or not we come away from this with, you know, hard evidence, you know, pictures of people burning Trump ballots in the back or something like that, I doubt we'll ever see that. But that's the point of totalitarian regimes. That's the point of tyranny, is that it's not so much even that it's, you know, the boot stamping on your face forever, as Orwell describes. The more insidious part of that regime was the destruction of truth, the inability to verify whether or not something happened. So that's a destruction of history. That's a destruction of information and truth in that regime. And you look at every tyrannical regime, whether it's Saddam Hussein, whether it's Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, you know, or even some of the weaker guys like Hugo Chavez. Once you have a culture within a political system where the result can be manufactured, then figuring out exactly what happened just becomes harder and harder. And I think that's what we see with this election is, we know it stinks. We know it doesn't make sense. It's not statistically possible for hundreds of thousands of votes to come in for just one candidate. But are we ever going to have a smoking gun that of, you know, like an example, you know, hey, we have video of somebody writing in ballots for Biden?
Well, then would it matter?
No.
I mean, the media we've got, it wouldn't matter.
Yes, and it wouldn't matter. That's the other thing, too, is you have this siloing of American media. So if you're on the right, you have people you watch. If you are on the left, you have people you watch. Now, I'd argue the right is more educated than the left, is because the left owns so many institutions that we have to be bombarded by their propaganda. Like, I can't escape the New York Times. I can't escape the Atlantic. I can't escape the analysis of the left. Part of that's because part of what the right does, almost to its detriment, actually to its detriment, half of what they do is just analyze the left. They're reactive. So if you're on the right, you get to exist in an echo chamber somewhat, but not really. I have to hear the left's argument, and I hear the right's argument, and I've compared the two, and I've decided to stick with, you know, the conservative side of the spectrum. On the left, if you don't want to hear a counter opinion, you don't have to. Facebook tries to hide it from you. Twitter tries to hide it from you. The mainstream media tries to hide it from you. And they don't react to us. We react to them. So their silo, their echo chamber, has very little bleed over from our side. So to your point, even if we had that evidence, would it matter? To a huge chunk of America, no, it wouldn't matter, because they've just decided that unless the New York Times says it, it can't be true. And that's kind of, again, that could be a whole podcast in itself, but this goes back to what we're seeing in America is this divide that's forming into two hardened positions. This isn't like, you know, we're not going to have a lot of swing between these two camps anymore going forward, because we both now have almost two completely different media ecosystems and sets of facts that we're working off of. And that's how countries tear themselves apart, because now there's no common set of truths or facts to make decisions and debate.
It's pretty much at this point going to take a miracle or a smoking gun to undo the theft and the fraud that is that the Democrats have done. And when we looked back now, we kind of were all scratching our head going, they don't seem to be running a campaign here. It's really weird. You know, Biden's in the basement. He never shows up to anything. You know, there's no enthusiasm. I mean, and now we look at the true votes, the votes that weren't stuffed in a box. And we see, say, you know, everywhere else he got less votes than Hillary and Obama. But yet, miraculously, in these key places, you know, he miraculously won. It's shocking, but at the same time, not really unexpected. I mean, this is what they do. This is what they've always done. I think that now Americans are looking at us, guys like us, we're looking at it and going, I see what's been going on all these years. Because this is not new. They've been doing this, but now they did it on such a strategic level that, you know, how do we undo this? Because I don't see a political solution to where we're headed. Not a normal political vote more Republican, you know, stuff like that. And we did pick up House seats. We did at the moment hold the Senate. Of course, they're not done stuffing ballots, so who knows how that would go. But where do we take things now? Because a good chunk of this country doesn't feel that the Biden administration, if he gets it, if he cheats his way in there, has any legitimacy. And so, not that the mainstream media will care about that or the communists will care about that, but we care. The 70-mile caravan of Trump vehicles in Arizona cares.
Yeah, the 70 million plus people who voted for him care.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things that we need to highlight there. So one is, just because we're in the smoking gun doesn't mean that we shouldn't be constantly reminding people of the irregularities that are beyond irregularities. So one example is that in elections have a certain amount of convergence that happens that's explainable. So for example, in Barack Obama's election, you saw overwhelming increase in black turnout. It's a historic event. It's the first black presidential candidate. That's naturally going to happen. What we're being asked to believe this time is that blacks overall voted more for Trump than they did last election, except in a handful of cities and localities, these particular cities and these particular black Americans just happened to be extra pissed and voted against Trump in an overwhelming numbers that didn't happen across the rest of the country. That's just not how elections work. Obama had a general wave. Trump had a general wave in certain specific demographics and areas. What you don't have is this idea where some cities in Michigan were really, really angry against Trump, but Trump improved with black voters in pretty much every other city in America. No, that's not how that works. And that it only happened in key demographic places and key states that facilitated Biden's victory. We can't let people forget that. So, yeah, I think it's obvious that something fishy went on here. The exact mechanism of it, we don't know, but we can figure it out that the mail-in ballot's easy to manipulate. But your broader question, what do we do when you have an illegitimate president or a president who's at a minimum, at a bare minimum, is perceived as being illegitimate by, you know, half the country or, you know, 30% of the country, 40% of the country? I think that we need to actually start, we should have started doing this years ago, and treating the federal government, state governments, and local governments, regardless of this election. Anytime the government does something that's unconstitutional, we should treat it as illegitimate. That's really where this went off the rails. That's why this has gone on for so long anyway. So why are we having these problems in Arizona? Arizona fought tooth and nail to get Republicans into their legislature and their governor's mansion who passed voter ID and citizenship verification and elections because they knew they were going to have problems with waves of illegal immigrations in Arizona, turning their state blue. That happened years ago. What happened? They lost to some federal circuit judge who said, nope, that's voter suppression. What should have happened then and should happen going forward with all conservative legislation is if it's invalidated by the courts, you ignore the courts. Arizona said, thanks, but no thanks. We know that's not unconstitutional. We're not suppressing the vote. Quite the opposite. We're protecting the vote, and we're going to ignore you. But multiple generations of GOP leaders have decided, no, can't do that. You know, the courts have the final say. You know, it's Supreme Court, right? Doesn't mean supreme body of judges. You know, you can't buck against judicial supremacy. You can't ignore the norms and decorum of how we do things around here. No. That's all gone now. That's what this election needs to teach us. Is that if they're going to break every rule, if they're going to manipulate the system and build a system that literally is rigged to the point where we cannot win, then the only way, another movie reference, the only way to win is not to play. When we win an election and we put in a new policy and the left challenges us in court, who cares what the federal judge says? I mean, let's riddle me this one. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine here, right? If I remember correctly, it was over 30 states. It's 36 or 38 states that had constitutional amendments defining marriage between a man and a woman. And that happened in Republican legislatures, and it even happened in California. All it takes is a 5-4 decision to undo the majority of the state's constitutions. Quite frankly, if we lose this election, we deserve what we got. Because for the past 2, 3, 4, 5 decades, since Roe v. Wade, we've been letting the Democrats win even when they lose. Because here's the dirty secret about what's really going on, right? What has been going on. And now only this changed with Trump is we've been able to see it more clearly. Here's how it works. If the Democrats win the elections, it's legitimate. And whatever laws they pass, they're exercising their constitutional powers as a legislature or a governor or a president. When we win elections and we exercise political power, it's unconstitutional. It's illegal. It's racist.
You don't have a mandate.
You don't have a mandate. Here's how insane it is. Trump couldn't even undo Obama's executive orders. He had federal judges block undoing Obama's old executive orders. That is absolutely insane. And that's why we've been losing. Because when we win elections, we can't exercise political power. When they win elections, it's automatically legitimate, and it becomes the new baseline for conservatism. All that conservatism means in the modern age is we defend the previous liberal victories. It becomes the new status quo. When was the last time we actually reversed what the Democrats did? It's only been under Trump, and he's only done most of it through executive action because we forget the rest of the GOP is still a bunch of morons. And again, Trump's not the savior, but at least Trump was willing to fight on some issues. So this election, I think, regardless of the outcome, going forward, we need to remind ourselves, this is now should be clear to everybody. We are operating in an illegitimate system, and it has to be broken. We have to break the system to rebuild it and restore it back to its constitutional roots. And unless we're willing to adopt that mindset, we will continue to lose.
You mentioned the courts and just, well, you know, the court said so, but the left frequently ignores what the courts say. You know, this election, we have laws. The law says X, Y, and Z. The law says you have to allow the opposition to watch what you're doing. The law says you have to, you know, have the ballots in by this time. And they're just like, whatever.
You know, that's a great point. So it's worse than what I described, actually. When they win the elections, they get to exercise political power. when we win elections, they block us in the courts. And even within their own rigged rules, when we win, then they ignore the rules of the game. DC versus Heller. You know, owning a gun in DC should be as easy as it is in Virginia. If you go by the ruling, they just ignored it. They have sanctuary cities. They accuse the right. The right are full of secessionists, neo-Confederates, and nullification people. They want chaos, want to destroy the republic. Last time I checked, it's the Democrats who have all the sanctuary cities that ignore or undermine immigration law. That's the thing. The left is nothing but projection when they talk about the right. They accuse us of doing whatever they are actually doing. And now it's time to turn the tables. We say, you know what? Actually, you guys had the right idea. You have the wrong interpretation of the Constitution, but we have the correct one. And there is no need for a state, a county, a city to obey, or for that matter, the president, to obey the unconstitutional mandates of a legislature or a court. You know, I think Trump was dealt a terrible hand. He's not the ideal guy for lots of things, but he was willing to fight. Most of the critiques I have of Trump is that he wasn't willing to fight more. So when they refused, when the court said you can't undo Obama's executive orders on environmental policy, on immigration from countries that have large terrorist strongholds, that was the first one. The quote-unquote Muslim ban, which is actually just a ban from countries that couldn't actually screen out terrorists. Funny note on that, that list of countries he was going to use was actually approved by the Obama administration. So that's how insane this is. Not only can you not enact your own executive orders, you can't even do them when they're based off of the previous Democrat administration's recommendations. Or DACA, you know, can't undo DACA because of some judge somewhere. That's where Trump could have used his power to say, you know what? There's three branches of government, not just one. Thank you for your opinion. I'm going to do it anyway. And going forward, that's what we need to see from governors and future Republican presidents, if we ever even get one in. We talked about that earlier too, you know. Who knows if we get to have another one in because of how much they've rigged the system. But that's the only way we actually get out of this, is we have to be willing to directly defy the system.
The other day I was driving down 460 and there's a dealership. They sell, you know, bucket trucks and, you know, rigs. Not, they're big rigs, but they're more like the tractors that, you know, short distance stuff. Brand new. He must have had 50 to 100 brand new vehicles. Probably anticipation of this next great economic boom that was coming. And now, yeah. You know, what happens now? Because I think, and man, you know, those people under the Obama administration, people did not expand. They did not buy new vehicles. They held on to what they had as long as they had, because they knew it wasn't booming. It was just enough to scrape by. So they're like, well, I'm going to have to keep this truck, not get a new one. Guys like that go out of business, and it just ripples through everything. Where do things go? Where do you see economics and socio, you know, political things happening if they install Biden?
So I think if Biden comes to power, you're going to see an initial dip in the economy. It's going to be reflected in the stock market. There's going to be hesitation, like you talked about, to expand and to do the things that you do when you're confident you're going to have a business-friendly environment from the government, right? So there's going to be an initial contraction. What remains to be seen is whether or not Trump is just an anomaly, or if he's actually shifted the mentality of the Republican Party. So if the Senate is held by the Republicans, or the House, you know, there's a very slim possibility, but it's a possibility they might even take the House. But if House Republicans and a Republican-controlled Senate go back to GOP business as usual, you know, this is where the GOP sweet spot is. Oh, the loyal opposition just have enough power to give grift to your friends, but not enough power to be accountable for what's going on. Let's not forget that under Obama, the GOP legislature went along with the Obama administration over 90% of the time. We forget that. This idea that, you know, the GOP is going to restrain a Democrat president historically has not worked very well, especially in the past 20 years. So if the GOP, though, has been shifted and they actually say, we're going to be the roadblock, none of Biden's radical agenda gets through, then I think we'll actually see the economy will probably continue to do fairly well. As long as businesses can be convinced that there is actually a wall stopping what's going to happen. Now, I don't think that's very likely, because what do we learn from Obama, right? Obama said if he couldn't get it done, he has what? A pen and a phone. If we thought Obama's executive overreach was bad, I think that we are in for a surprise what they're going to be willing to do under a Biden administration. So I think we're going to see further contracting of the economy, and at a minimum, you're going to see anemic growth, kind of like what you had under Obama. Now, how that plays into the broader issues we're dealing with, I'm not sure. You know, you and I have talked about this before. There's a lot of times we thought, this is the thing that's going to push us over the edge. This is finally going to be the last trillion on the national debt, you know, that sinks the ship. And
I don't even know what we're at right now. I don't even bother keeping track. It's so high. It's in the plus 20s.
And this year we added like three, and like we did like a trillion a month during the height
whatever,
of the COVID thing.
More money.
So, yeah.
But I mean, you mentioned.
So I really don't know.
You know, anemic. I think you said growth. Anemic growth. I don't think the world can withstand anemic growth. We're the only thing, the economic engine keeping things going at the moment. I mean, the whole world is shut itself down. We're the only ones going, whatever, we're going to still run.
China's running.
Yeah.
So
they're pretending they're not.
Yes, and pretending they're not. That could be a podcast in of itself. But yeah, I really don't know. I've thought the ship was going to sink so many times. I'm kind of out of the prediction business on what the economy is going to do. And part of that is because we do so much economic manipulation that, quite frankly, America should have been, our economy should have collapsed a long time ago. You know, the fact that we have a bond rating that's just slightly below a AAA rating, I mean, that's just insane. There's a lot of economists who point out that if you did government accounting the same way you do accounting for a corporation, and you looked at America's actuarial debt, we're not like 20, 25 trillion. We're like 100 trillion in the hole or more if you look at all the unfunded liabilities of the federal government. So we have such a high level of manipulation of our economic system that I really can't say, you know, what pushes us over the edge. What I think we can say with confidence, though, is that whenever that point that breaks the economy is, every time we have a Democrat administration, it's accelerated. And even under Trump, I mean, let's not give Trump too much credit here. Trump had a booming economy, but like previous administrations, it was heavily subsidized with debt. So, you know, it's not just the Democrats that do this, but definitely under Democrat administrations, you get growth that always exceeds whatever the Republicans did. Again, that doesn't excuse Republicans for their actions, but I think that a Biden administration will push us closer to the point where we finally reach that unsustainable breaking point for debt and government spending, especially if you combine all the spending they claim they want to do with the taxation they want to do. I mean, if you fully implemented what's being described as, you know, the Biden agenda, Green New Deal, the massive taxes, the massive environmental regulations, combined with massive spending programs, I mean, I do think it is possible in a Biden administration, if the Republicans don't actually block it, to finally bring us to that collapsing point in the next administration. Again, I'm not going to predict that. Don't know. I thought it was going to happen under Obama. But each iteration of what the left says they want to do just gets more and more radical. So at some point, it is going to break it. You know, Venezuela was one of the most prosperous countries in South America until Hugo Chavez finally imposed, you know, that last control measure, that last boondoggle program, that last economic killing policy that collapsed Venezuela. So it will happen, but the win has just been really hard to predict.
Well, that'll wrap it up for today. Remember to pray, everybody. We get the government in America that we deserve. You need to be on your knees asking God to expose the fraud. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.
Victory or death!
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!